go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I am Ben Bolin.
Ben, we've got another cool topic today. We got one that not something that's popping up a lot in kind of do-it-yourself forums and a lot of people that are into modifying their own vehicles in different ways, you know, mechanical and appearance. There's some growing interest in this, and it's about using a product called Plastidip to cover parts or even in some cases the entire vehicle.
Yeah, this is a very different technique. Some listeners may remember that earlier we've covered DIY painting before.
Yeah.
We covered the idea of using actual, non-specific, but regular house paint, basically, to roller paint your car.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, the oil-based paints is right.
Yeah, diluting it.
Yeah, exactly. But this is I don't know, similar, I guess. It's similar in that, you know, you can do it yourself at home.
Yeah.
We're going to get to the whole vehicle process at one point, but mm-hmm. I'll tell you where this kind of, I don't know, came into my mind as something that maybe we want to cover on Car Stuff.
Yeah, because this was your idea.
Yeah, I was watching a couple of videos about people who would, darken chrome badges on their car.
Yeah.
You know, just to eliminate the shiny surfaces on the back of the vehicle. And a lot of people do that. And a lot of them were using a product called Plastidip. And it seems like it really is a simple process to do that. And then people started doing, like, the grill of their car. And then they started doing the wheels of their car.
Yep.
And that kind of spread to the point where people are doing larger surfaces of the car,
like
including the entire car, which is amazing. And I'll tell you, they've got really, really good results with this. I mean, it's pretty spectacular, the transformations that they make.
And there's some cool stuff post-transformation that we can also talk about.
Exactly.
One of the big differences. But so let's get into what Plastidip is.
Yeah, I think we need to talk about two different things here.
Yeah.
There's a company that is kind of now becoming famous for the entire vehicle coverage, and then there's the original the company that makes the product itself. Let's talk about the product itself.
Okay. Well, the product itself, according to their website, is the single finest creation in the history of mankind.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah, they do go on to say that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but Plastidip is at base, it's a multi-purpose air dry specialty rubber coating.
Okay, makes sense. And it's kind of like a rubberized material, right? That
mm-hmm.
It's been around for a long, long time, several decades. As a
yes,
matter of fact,
absolutely.
I was looking into the history of. Well, it's called Plastidip International.
That's the company.
That's the company, and it's in Blaine, Minnesota, and that's where they're headquartered. I guess it started in the 1970s as a manufacturer of kind of a heat cured PVC product. Even toys, things like that.
Gumby.
Yeah.
Most famously.
That is crazy, isn't it? I mean, the original Gumby toys and Pokey that went along with that, were made out of Plastisol, which is really hot, heat cured PVC products, this company, Plastidip International, created. They make, of course, handle grips for bikes, things like that.
Chainsaw grips.
Yeah, that's right. Chainsaw grips from, this is back in the 70s. And early on, they decided, you know what, this is something that people could do on their own. Mm-hmm. And probably, I don't know, where most people originally came in contact with this might be with the handles of tools. Like, you know, I've got some in my toolbox now. I know my dad had a bunch of these. Let's say pliers that have a rubber grip on them.
Yeah.
They have been dipped in a plastic that forms exactly to the handle of the tool that you're using. And, you know, of course you could buy this on hardware store shelves at some point.
Yes.
And still, even today you can buy a can of this and you open it up and you dip the handle and you let it dry and there you go. You've got a grip.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose you could do the same with bicycle handle grips if you wanted to, but they make handle grips anyways. But the product is kind of, it lays claim to being the first do-it-yourself rubberized, rubberized coating treatment that you could do at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, later they kind of branched into many different areas. Now they've got, like, industrial products, which are like waterproof seam sealers and liquid tape,
yeah.
which is a cool one, you know, which that's also kind of a home product. They have home products. They have
more commercial products.
Yeah, like non-skid coatings and vinyl repair kits for, like, dishwasher racks.
And anything foam?
Anything foam, yeah, that's really
cool.
Which
is a little bit of a Willy Wonka name,
yeah,
too.
That's kind of cool. And they have manufacturing and specialty products. In fact, you know, they make coatings now that are for protective coatings for the International Space Station.
That I did not know.
They make therapy plastics, and they make skin for artificial limbs. You know, really lifelike looking skin. Just all kinds of foam coatings. It's just it's an interesting company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one part of this. They make the actual product that then is used by the company that is kind of, have
becoming known.
Yeah, becoming known for using the product to, in the automotive world, I guess, for dipping your car.
Mm-hmm.
And the website is called dipyourcar.com.
Yes. And dipyourcar.com has several things that you can check out online, both video and article formats. The one of the videos in particular that, Scott, I know you and I both watched is a step-by-step guide to plastic dipping one's car.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have checked out some other painting tutorials, there's some stuff that'll seem familiar here. One of the biggest things, one of the silver bullet rules for any kind of painting, dipping, whatever, on a vehicle's exterior is that the more you prep, the easier your time will be and the better your end results will be.
Yeah, lots of cleaning. In fact, they sell a pre-cleaner from their headquarters in Coral Springs, Florida. And Fonzie, I think, is the guy's name, who is the owner.
Yeah, on the forums, too.
Yeah, Fonzie is the guy. And he appears on a lot of the YouTube videos. So he's kind of the guru, the go-to guy for this type of thing. But you're right, cleaning is huge. You said that, you know, there's a lot of similarities between, you know, painting and plastic dipping, right?
Yeah.
There's also a couple of differences.
And those are what we should focus on.
You think so? Because the difference is now, I'll tell you, plastic dipping a whole vehicle, and I promise we'll get to this in just a moment, but it's exactly the same as plastic dipping a badge on your car. If you watch how they do it.
Uh-huh.
And the odd part about this has been, and I'll tell you, this is just kind of an early, like a tip that I've kind of picked up on the way. When you're masking for this stuff, it's counterintuitive in that you don't have to mask right up to the edge of whatever you're plastic dipping.
Isn't that weird?
This is such a strange phenomena that goes along with this that, like, let's say you're dipping a badge. And you've got a round, a lot of the videos that I see are like Nissan badges for some reason.
Okay.
And so it's a round Nissan badge, chrome, and it's on, you know, the surface of the vehicle. You don't have to remove it from the vehicle or anything. In fact, when you tape up to it, you might think that's tough to tape that whole thing.
Right, because it's a circle.
All you do is tape a box around the circle, leaving plenty of surface of the car, you know, exposed.
And why is that?
And because The crazy thing about this is this product, the way it works, the way it bonds together, it makes this rubber matte surface.
Mm-hmm.
You're better off to have additional material that you peel away than material that is like really sparsely covering an area. Like if it was just a few drops, that's more difficult to get rid of, which, is not all that difficult in any ways. But it's harder than in this case where you would just simply peel it off like a sheet.
Ah, and that's the key phrase that I'm glad you used twice there. Peel off.
Oh, okay, good.
Because when people use Plastidip on their badges, a lot of what you'll see is a blackout badge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a limited selection of factory made colors for this product. However, we will talk about how you can create your own. The key here is that when you have that square around the badge taped off and you apply the Plastidip, a lot of people use spray, a lot of people spray it on, then once you have that square of the badge, you can take a sharp edge and cut around it to get rid of the excess material.
Yeah, but in many cases, though, if there's a gap, even just a little edge there.
Right.
This is the crazy part about this is, like, you know, you think it'd be really difficult if you have lettering on the back of the car.
Right.
Like, let's say I saw a Ford F-150 that someone was doing, mm-hmm. and they've got the F-150 logo or the badge to do. They tape it off, you know, kind of loosely so that there's a lot of surface, of the, you know, the vehicle surface, painted surface, exposed. And then when you peel it off, as you peel it away, it just kind of leaves everything on the badge alone. It takes off what's on the surface of the car. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really quick. And you may take like a toothpick and just have to peel away a few details. Yeah. But you're not freehanding with a razor blade anything that, you know, would be, you know, an edge that you would see. The edges are created by the piece itself. Mm-hmm. It's hard to explain it clearly like this. You have to see it in action. You have to understand what's going on, or see it to understand what's going on completely.
Like the lights.
The lights. Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, a lot of people don't even mask the lights.
Yeah, you don't have to mask the lights because, again, the edge. And I apologize, Scott, you said it much more clearly than I could. So thank you about the lettering and the badges. We see this same thing happen again with headlights or taillights. You don't have to mask those off with tape because of the edge, right?
Yeah.
Between the body of the vehicle and the light, the light fixtures, you can simply peel it off.
It's two separate surfaces. There's a gap there. Mm-hmm. There's no joining of the material. Like if it was one continuous surface, that would be difficult. You would have to mask that in some way in order for that to happen. But that's the beauty of this thing. Now, I think we should just jump right into like how you do a car because
let's do it.
Now, you can watch a 7 or 8 minute video about how this happens, and I've kind of, you know, understood from watching many of these, you know, do-it-yourselfers, Fonzie doing it, you know, there at the headquarters in Florida, other people just experimenting with parts. It takes about 8 to 10 hours to do an entire vehicle, kind of give or take. Depends on what level you work with, like the prep material, like how much you want to mask off and how much you don't want to mask off, and how much peeling away of the excess material there is at the end.
And this is not a one coat job either. This is, we're talking maybe 5-6. Maybe
yeah, that's right.
5-8.
Yeah, in fact, the more coats, the better because, you know, the durability, but they have to be applied correctly. Mm-hmm. That's for durability. We'll talk about that too in a moment. But, there's a whole FAQ section that I think we should step through later. But, honestly, like watching this product go on the vehicles and as effortlessly, mm-hmm. boy, that's tough to say. Effortlessly,
you got it.
Got it. As it does go on, it's pretty amazing the results that they get, and they're very smooth. It's very very uniform finish. It's a matte finish that you normally get from the standard product.
Right.
It's like a satiny look, but you can apply different products to it, right? To get different effects. Like there's a product
if you want
called
a glosser.
Yeah, they call it glossifier. I think is what they called it. What else? There's a few other things. There's a metalizer, a pearlizer, and there's
a lot
also
of isers.
Yeah, there's even a carbon fiber kit that I was kind of looking at earlier that was really cool. It gives an appearance of carbon fiber.
Right.
So you can do like maybe a hood or a spoiler or whatever you want to do your ground effects, whatever. Anyways, watching him paint, I think he did an Audi. In the example.
He starts with a white Audi.
He starts with a white Audi, that's right. And he paints it and does very minimal masking.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't remove any badging. It paints right over top of the headlights and taillights, as you mentioned.
Yeah, he masks over the glass of the mirror. He masks over the front and rear windshields.
Okay.
Ooh, there's another tricky one. Rear windshields.
You got it, though.
and the side windows. And this is
the tires. I think he draped something over the tires.
You're right, yeah.
But that was
it. He removes the front grille.
Oh, okay.
But, this is as simple as just taping that off, putting newspaper over the windows and a bed sheet over the rear windshield.
Hey, Ben, you're talking like, I would guess, and I'm going to say that he's done this many times, obviously, thousands of times probably, but I would say even just a do-it-yourselfer, that's like an hour's worth of work in a garage.
Yeah.
That's not very much time at all. When you're prepping a vehicle. Now, that's not completely – that's not like when you're painting a car.
Yeah, that's nowhere near as intense.
It's so easy because let's say that you've got a piece of trim that you don't want covered. You know, it's chrome or whatever.
Right.
Paint right over it, peel it right off when you're done. That's how simple this is. And when you see the transformation of this car from a white Audi to a blue Audi, which is, I mean, I'll tell you, it's stunning.
I will admit, very skeptical when I saw that first coating go on.
Yeah.
Because it looks as if it's just getting dirty.
But see, that's the thing with this is that, you know, that first coat is so light. It's all in the application.
Right.
You have to do this in the proper way. If you do it, you know, in a sloppy manner, there's going to be consequences to pay in the results that you see later on.
And they could be ruinous.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it could be the texture of the material that,
sure.
You know, it comes out, you know, very rough. I've seen people with like almost like a sandpaper finish.
Yeah.
If it's applied too close or too far away, you know, if they don't wait long enough in between coats, there's a lot of... It sounds terrible. It's really easy to do. There's a lot of rules. Mm-hmm. But if you do it correctly... This lasts a long, long time because I think people will say, well, those plastic handle grips on my dad's pliers, they always fall off and there's a lot of trouble with those. Is it going
right,
to be the
right,
same
right.
thing? Well,
no.
It's a slightly, it's a thinner surface, first of all. Mm-hmm. You're not dipping it in the product, actually. You're painting it on.
Right.
Use kind of an air power gun, to apply this stuff. But yeah, they say that, this stuff can last up to like 3 years without retouching any of the surfaces, you know. That's...
Now, I read some of that too, and that we should say that depends on a lot of factors.
Okay.
So if you're cool with it, actually, I can walk through just some of the basic steps.
Sure.
Real quick. Okay. So first, as you would do with any DIY painting or exterior coating project, find good area. Find a place that, you know, is ventilated. I mean, I know we shouldn't have to say that, but it's important.
Yeah, don't set this up underneath the cottonwood tree that's going to, you know, drop stuff all over.
Oh gosh!
Every 5 seconds, you know.
Exactly. And make double sure that you have a clean surface. You know, even if it feels like it's taking too long, it's going to be so worth it.
And they suggest a few different things that you can use to clean the
like
surface.
Like alcohol wipe or...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they even have a pre-spray material.
Yeah, a kit
that comes with it in a spray bottle that, you know, specially formulated, mm-hmm. makes a good surface, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, and then, of course, mask off your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we get to one of the things they sell, the Plastidip comes in various forms. One of those forms is what would look like an aerosol can,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And this is something important because when you're doing the entire car, you know, of course, one can's not going to cut it.
Definitely not.
You're
so what do you do?
You're much better served with one of the pro kits, which includes gallons of
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, and that's pre-thinned from what I understand. Is that,
yes,
it's thinned out because you're going to use this, you're going to apply this with a gun that comes in the kit as well. Now, these pro kits,
mm-hmm.
you mentioned, you know, they come in gallon form, which is kind of, it's something you're not going to pick up at the hardware store on the
right.
shelf, most likely. That's kind of an industrial size application that you'd find it somewhere else.
Yeah.
But the pro kits, now they come in different sizes. They range from 1 gallon
mm-hmm.
all the way up to about 5 gallons. So like they've got a pro kit. Now, just for example, I don't know if you want to list what's in the kit or not.
Sure.
They have there's a spray gun, which they call the 3500,
mm-hmm.
which is really, it's got a big reservoir on the bottom. It looks, to me, Ben, it looks like one of those Wagner power painters. It appears like that. Now,
that's pretty good.
I don't know how it's actually operated, a little compressor or what, but it looks like that. And there's a certain number of gallons of Plastidip product, which you can, you know, order via whichever kit you get. I'll mention mm-hmm. that in a minute. There's blue painter's tape. There's a washing material. There's decals, of course, if you want them. Mixing sticks and microfiber towels. That's
mm-hmm.
everything that comes in this kit. And the kits range from 1 gallon, which is for a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And that's about a little under $200. 2 gallons, which is for what, an ATV or a small
right.
vehicle,
yeah,
they say.
Compact car, maybe.
Yeah, that's like just a little under $250. 3 gallon kit for a small car, which is about $299.
Mm-hmm.
A 4 gallon kit, which is for a large car or extra coverage on a small car, which is they highly recommend that.
Yeah, again, we've emphasized that. Well, get used to it. We'll emphasize that some more.
That's about $350.
Yeah.
And then there's a 5-gallon kit for a truck or an SUV.
SUV, yeah.
And that's about $400. So the most expensive kit, the entire thing here, and once you get the gun and, you know, all that other stuff,
yeah.
That's yours to keep, obviously.
Right.
So at that point, once you buy the kit, then you've got that, and then you'll just be buying gallons of product.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the interesting thing about this is you can apply this stuff, keep it on for a week or two, completely peel it off, and then paint your car again. And
yeah.
It's really, I mean, I don't want to say it's affordable. It's reasonable.
It's reasonable. I'll
say reasonable.
That, yeah.
Because, you know, let's say that you get the kit, the pro kit. It's got everything you need. You know, you've cleaned the gun properly so you can reuse it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can get the painter's tape at any store. You can get mixing sticks anywhere, of course. Microfiber towels, all that stuff.
Right.
That's easy enough. The gun is what you really need and the product. And I think you can even probably find a different gun if you wanted to. But it's all right here in this one kit. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it seems to make sense to buy a pre-assembled kit. But the cool thing, Ben, I had visions of, what was that, Cannonball Run?
Yeah.
You know where they what was it? They were running from the police in the Lamborghini,
uh-huh.
and they pull over to the side, and it's the girls, you know, and they pull over, and they got the hose, and they wash off. Was it the white color, and it becomes a red car?
Yeah.
It's like a whitewash car. I had visions of this when I saw them peeling the paint off.
It's a quick
of
change.
Yeah, when they were peeling this Plasti-Dip off of the car the first time, and you know the cool thing is like you could change the color of your car literally. Every, I don't know, I'd say 2 days, 3 days if you wanted to.
Yeah, you're limited. In theory, the only hard limit is the drying time. So, you know, once you've got your material, your painting in sections, we already know that that's something that goes with almost any painting process,
mm-hmm.
right? And, of course, as you spray your first layer, you may be a little bit skeptical because, again, it's not going to look like it's completely covering it. It's not. You have to do, as we said, multiple layers. The drying time I've read is between 15 to 30 minutes.
Between coats?
Between coats, yeah.
Okay. So, really, let's say that, you know, you get this whole thing painted. You let it dry, and you have to let it cure for a certain amount of time before it's really, you know,
right.
set.
After you paint, you need at least 4 hours.
So you could paint your car twice a day if you wanted to.
If you really wanted to.
If you truly
wanted
to.
You could just peel it off after that.
This is how amazing this is. Now, I've seen other cars that, you know, have been painted for a couple of years that they bring in just to show that, you know, like, there were a couple of BMWs I saw that were painted like in this camo green, which is really, really a cool color.
Yeah.
Because it has that satin green look, and it's really, really slick. They brought them in, and they peeled it right off. It was like it had been on there for a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
Amazing. Now, I know that it hardens up a bit after a while. You know, it becomes more and more, I don't know if it cures more or what, but it becomes a little more brittle. By brittle, I don't even understand what that really means, because when at these cars that had, you know, had this product on for a long, long time, they were able to pull them off with you know, one sheet. You know, you just kind of scratch for an edge. And you think, all right, you got to be thinking, like, you know, this stuff, if you can peel it right off with your fingernail, and you got to kind of work at it to get it started. That's the whole point. But it's very, very durable. I thought there's no way, you know, you drive a little too fast, it's going to start flapping in the wind, right?
Right, a rock pops up from the road.
Yeah. Well, but the cool thing is, this product actually, it, I mean, people use this product to create, you know how people would buy those leather car sports bras?
Yeah.
Did I say that right? Sports bra?
Yeah.
Protective bra for their car. How about that? I'll say it that way.
Oh, yeah.
A protective bra for their car, you know,
right.
for rock chips and things like that.
Right. And we're not talking about sports bras. We're talking about the leather, leather that goes around the front or the sometimes the rear.
So. Yeah, exactly. So this is you could actually create one of those out of, you know, Plasti-Dip at this point. So you could mask the front of your vehicle, paint the protective rubberized bra on the front, and just not have to worry about it. That's how durable this stuff is. And it stands up to, you know, sunshine and washing.
Mm-hmm.
I was concerned, you know, because I'm terrible about this, Ben. I drive through the car washes.
The automatic car wash?
The automatic car washes with the brushes. And I know a lot of people are booing right now, but I saw them drive a vehicle that had been Plasti-Dipped through an automatic car wash, no damage at all. didn't grab. You know, you think those bristles would grab an edge and pull it up. Didn't harm it one bit. Not one single edge was pulled up. Not a scratch on it. It was beautiful.
Okay, now I'm glad that we're at this point, because I've heard some stuff and I've read some stuff that's a bit contentious about the durability of Plastidip. People have said, there are people who say that that they would suggest it only for 6 months.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was small. I guess it also depends on where you're riding your car, where you're driving.
Okay.
You know, if it's your daily driver and you're in an area with a lot of rocks or something, maybe one of them does catch an edge. I don't know. And I also found some people who were not completely happy with the results, who were talking about that texture that we've mentioned before. Mm. But I wonder how much of that goes back to application.
Ah, see, now I saw some application issues online as well. There was a guy painting, it looked like a big Lincoln Town Car.
I think, yeah.
And
okay.
He had the hood, and he said anywhere that was a flat surface, you know, that was a, like you had to point the gun down, I had an issue with, you know, this surface, and it was a rough surface. And he was taking, I think, a paint roller. He had a very creative way to get around it, and it ended up beautiful. He was able to fix it. He took xylene, I think it was, and he had rubbed it in that and was wiping it across the surface of that, and it would re-liquefy the product and smooth it out, and then he would put another coat on top, and it was fixed.
And now this Fonzie guy has some tips in his videos about how to best hold the sprayer.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
So that might influence it. Another thing that might influence the durability of Plastidip is the temperature, the ambient temperature.
Sure.
So on the website, they also mention about how cooler temperatures can affect the finish quality and the performance of the spray.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that they recommend doing is that if you are in a cooler condition, which they specify that the product has been proven between negative 30 Fahrenheit to 200 Fahrenheit, which is pretty much what you're going to run into in most of the United States.
Sure.
But if anybody's somewhere where it's negative 31, I apologize. But the other thing here is that they recommend taking the product and pre-warming it in a warm room so it can reach that kind of temperature before you apply it. Again, this all goes back to preparation.
Sure, Ben. You know what? If you're going to spray paint things and it's cooler out, they tell you to put spray paint cans in a bowl of warm water.
Exactly.
In order to keep it thin. So there's just a lot of tips and tricks and you know, things that you got to keep straight in your head that, you know, if it's colder out, obviously it may not be the best, you know, the best conditions to do this. Try to get a space heater out in your garage, or find a heated garage that you can do this in. Or if it's the wheels of your car that you're coating,
take them inside.
Yeah, exactly. There's ways around this if you have to do it in the wintertime. And if you're concerned about heat, I just noticed here on the FAQ that it says, will it hold up to heat in racing?
Uh-huh.
It says that it's heat resistant up to 312 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Obviously, like if you have it on your racing wheels, which get really, really hot due to, you know, braking, it will stand up to that. It won't bubble or crack away. The other thing is that, you know, some people are saying, well, I live in, Minnesota. Let's take Minnesota.
Sure.
Or Michigan, or, you know, someplace that's really, really harsh winters and very cold, dramatic temperature changes.
Yeah.
They say that a lot of people actually use Plastidip on the wheels to protect them for the winter season. So let's say that in the fall, you take the brushed aluminum wheels off your car and you take them inside and you Plastidip them black or whatever color you want to do them, red, it doesn't matter, any color, and put them back on the car. You can drive them all winter long in the snow and ice and crud and salt and all that garbage. In the springtime, you peel off the protective layer and they're as good as new. So you've protected the wheels. It's not like you had to remove them and have a winter set of wheels for all that other garbage.
Right.
So it's used as a winter protective coat in a lot of places. So if that eases anybody's mind about this, and they say that, you know, the same thing with the surface of the car, really, it doesn't do any harm to clear coat, because I know a lot of people are concerned about clear coat.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be in the same state it was as it once you take it off.
Mm-hmm.
Once you take the plastic.
Yeah. Exactly. We've seen this with the car wraps as well.
Yeah. It reminded me of wraparound.
It's just a different way to cover the surface. I mean, it's really not harming anything below it. In fact, it's protecting what's below it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're protecting the initial, the factory finish, I guess. and you're applying this new one, which then takes the abuse, which is good in this case because this is such a durable product. And one last thing.
Okay.
And I'm probably almost done here, but the matte finish, a lot of people are concerned with that. And we mentioned that you can get the glossifiers.
Uh-huh. Glossalizer.
Glossalizer, whatever. It's a funny name. They've also got, you know, this section, like a, you know, the FAQ thing that Fonzie does, that he says, you know, a lot of people are asking about standard clear coats.
Right.
Can I put a clear coat on top of it, you know, something that's shiny because of the matte finish? And he says you can. And in the results I saw, that it was tougher to peel the plastic coat away from the surface that had been covered with a traditional clear coat, let's say from like Krylon or something like that. But if you use the Plastidip gloss, was it glossifier?
It's glossifier. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
If you use the Plastidip product, it's much, much easier. In fact, you can use the glossifier alone on a product and peel that off, which is cool. I didn't even know that until just minutes ago.
Really?
When we were researching
this.
Yeah, he said you could use a Plastidip gloss coating and coat this mic stand, and then we could peel off the gloss coat if we wanted to.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, I have one last thing before we close up.
Sure.
The colors. We mentioned this.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, this is not paint. This is a rubberized surface. Mm-hmm. This is a different animal to paint. So there's not the same variety of color selections, right?
That's what you think.
That's what you think. Okay.
Because there's like seven, there's only like seven base colors,
like five,
right?
Or seven, yeah.
Okay.
And so you're too clever for my little rhetorical trap here.
Oh, sorry, Ben.
It's okay. I respect you more now. No, I'm kidding. But the one thing you can do if you say that, you know, you want that more, what was that, the camo green on the BMW?
Yes.
Yeah, if you want something more like that, you can order a create-your-own color kit. So this comes with clear Plastidip and five different tints. And so you can mix up your own color if they don't offer one already.
Exactly. Like, I know the blue car, you know, the blue is a pretty shocking blue that that they have.
It's really powerful blue.
It's very bright. I call it like a candy blue or some kind of color like that. Really, really intense, and they had used, I think it was a black mix to tone it down a bit, and the result was really, really nice. As long as it's mixed correctly and consistently, you know, use the same color every time, you know, you do this, it really turned out nice. I mean, and there are tint kits that you can buy that, you know, come with the variety of the tints that you can add to these colors that you purchase. And there's also, if you're into this, there's blaze colors, which are really, really intense, like orange and pink and green and, you know, really kind of shocking colors. A lot of people like to do that on their wheels.
Yeah.
Or maybe even badges or something like that, or just highlight certain areas of the car, like I mentioned, like spoilers or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, bright yellow wheels.
Yeah, exactly. Or you know, bright orange, you know, hood of the vehicle.
Right.
And the rest of the car is black or something like that. Anything, I'll tell you, anything is possible with this. And it's really, you mentioned it earlier, Ben, you said that this is a different beast from paint completely. That is so true. I thought initially it was going to be more like a paint product.
Right.
You know, just seeing how it's reversible. It's so quickly undone if you don't like what you've done, and you're able to repair. There's fix kits that they sell that re-liquefy. So if, let's say, you get a door ding that, you know, goes through the surface, you can buy a fix-it kit to liquefy the product and smooth it out, and it's like it never happened.
And that's really cool.
I've become a believer in the last, let's say, couple weeks since we've been really looking at this.
Yeah.
I've really become a believer, and I've seen so many success stories. And it seems so simple. I mean, I know that's an easy trap to fall into,
sure.
that it looks simple online. I can see somebody doing it and watching
right.
step by step. But, you know, when I see a do-it-yourselfer that does a badge or a full grill on a car, and it looks spectacular. I mean, no flaws at all, with no training or no, you know, previous knowledge. This is my first time doing this type thing. It gives me a lot of encouragement, a lot of, I don't know,
inspiration.
It's inspirational. It's believable, and I also think that this may become like an addictive thing too. If you were to buy the kit and you had the gun,
it's already a sunk cost.
And you've painted your car. Let's say you've painted your red car. You've made it a matte black, and you don't like that anymore because that trend's kind of going away.
And you want to do a matte white, something transformative.
yeah, something totally different. Whatever it is, you know, it's completely possible, and it's relatively inexpensive. It's quick. And it seems very easy to do.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But again, one thing that people should understand is you cannot expect the same performance you would expect from a paint job. This is not going to last as long.
Fair enough.
But with that in mind, the price alone, you know, that's what gets me.
Yeah.
Is so much more inexpensive than your typical Orthodox paint job.
And you know what? There's something kind of cool about, you know, like you show up in one day in the same car that was blue that's
yes.
now red, and then the next time they see you, it's orange, and then it's going to be white, and, you know, then it's a camel color, and then you may do a carbon fiber hood. And
dude, that's the most exciting thing because we can go into the parking deck. For everyone who hasn't heard that, we have a really weird parking deck here. It's underground. It's like five levels. We could go in there and we could just completely change our cars and make a clean getaway from whatever we did. I don't know what.
Totally possible. I see you seeing like heist capabilities in this.
Yeah, the heist capabilities alone, Scott. But before I go off planning a crime on air. Okay, so I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Yoni writes in to say, I think if you did a show on how bait cars work. For reference, the show Bait Car on True TV. This is about how this guy steals a car and gets trapped in there, and the police own the bait car.
I like this. I think this is a good idea.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. And I would love to see this actually happening. In person. I've seen just little bits of the show. I've never watched the whole thing all the way through Bait Car, but I know the premise is that they're able to control, they're even able to lock the person in the vehicle. Is that right?
So this is like OnStar fights crime.
Yeah, yeah. And what's funny is, you know, I mean, obviously they're on many, many camera angles and, you know, the car is stolen and they're caught red-handed.
Ouch.
And, you know, it's always like, no, this is my car. This is my friend's car.
Oh, are you serious?
They deny right to the very end when they're being hauled away that, you know, they have no idea that, you know, they're being watched.
Officer, this is my pink Tahoe.
It's really comical, you know, in a way, but also sad. Yeah.
Okay. So if you're hearing this, don't steal a car, guys. It's really not worth it.
No, definitely not. But I do like the idea that we should talk about maybe bait cars and see if maybe the Atlanta police here or locally are doing something. Maybe we can talk to them about it.
That would be cool. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to do another piece of listener mail?
Yeah. You know, we can do something real quick here. I've got one from Aaron in Aaron's from northern Minnesota. And Aaron wrote in about a topic that we talked about a long time ago, the $3,000 car.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Datsun. That's
mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had kind of a romanticized version of, you know, what we thought the Datsun brand should be bringing back. And
oh, I remember
talked
this
about,
email.
You know, the 240Z and all that, you know, that we're big fans of that.
Maybe
vehicle,
we
right?
went a little too nostalgic. Is that what this is?
I guess so, because, you know, I wrote back to Aaron, but I'll tell you that in a minute.
Yeah.
He says, what made Datsun's great was not that they were comparable to the European imports, but it was that they were comparable and far more affordable.
Yep.
So they made buying a great car, it says building a great car is easy. Building a great car everyone can afford is very hard.
That's a very good point.
So he says as long as Nissan builds a great $3,000 car, I don't think that the brand will be diluted, but it'll be strengthened. And then that could possibly lead to like a $5,000 car, or maybe a $10,000 car that could conceivably be sold in the developed world. And I thought that was a good point.
That's a really good point. What did you say? You wrote this guy back already.
Yeah,
right?
I did. I wrote back to Aaron. I said that it's a good point, you know, because, you know, that a lot of people are writing in and saying that we forgot about the whole aspect that, you know, they started out as microcars.
Yeah.
And definitely a value brand vehicle, right?
Uh-huh.
The economy.
Absolutely.
Economy car. We were really focused on just the Z cars, and we probably shouldn't have been. We should have looked at more of, you know, the people that remember them as like more of econobox cars that suffered from rust is what a lot of people said.
That's true. We got multiple emails about this, so
yeah, yeah.
Maybe we did romanticize it.
Yeah, we were a bit nostalgic when we look back at the, you know, like the 240Z model, mm-hmm. and, you know, especially now, it's so easy now that time has passed and that, you know, I said that, you know, every 240Z that I see now is a finished product. It's a streetcar.
Yeah.
And it's at shows and it's, you know, it's being it's on display somewhere.
It's obsessively waxed on the weekends.
Exactly. And that's not really what Datsun was all about, you know, back in the day. You know, I know they had some questionable products. They had some great products.
Hits and misses, let's say.
Okay, hits and misses. Let's just leave it at that. But Aaron, you're right, and a lot of people had written in about that, so I just want to kind of clear the air that, yeah, we probably romanticized that one just a bit. A little too nostalgic on our end.
And we really appreciate everybody who wrote in to tell us about that. We had some people talking about their Datsuns and how the reason that they had a Datsun to begin with was that it was a value brand. And so we've heard what's been going on here, and this, especially Aaron's letter, gave us a great perspective, because perhaps rather than diluting the Datsun brand, the $3,000 car will reinvigorate it, you know?
Possibility.
And just like he says in his email, Yoni, we also appreciate your recommendation on bait cars. It sounds like Scott and I might be sold on this. We would love to hear from you guys. We're about to head out, and I promise I'm not going to plastic dip my car this weekend, but we'll see about the future. That quick change seems pretty cool. Let us know what you think. Find us at Car Stuff on Facebook. Hit us up at Car Stuff HSW on Twitter, or write an email with funny jokes, anecdotes, or stories about plastic dip. You know, whatevs, at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.